Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
So the only thing that can separate for you what your spirit is and what your soul thinks and your will and your emotions, the only thing that brings you into balance and understanding is the Word of God.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the Word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Thank you again for joining us on Revive Radio. Today's message was taken from Pastor Rogers' most current message series from a Wednesday night Bible study. This is Transformed. Change your mind, change your life. This is part one from that series. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers today.
Okay, so I want to know, how many of you tonight are sitting in this building, you say, Pastor, I am born again, I'm saved. Let me see your hand. All right. Some of you are not raising your hand, and I'm telling you, nobody's gonna look funny at you. I'm just telling you that the best life that you can live is not because of somebody's blessing into your life, but because Jesus Christ lives in your life. So if you're not saved, tonight's the night for you to give your life to Jesus Christ. Be the best decision you've ever made. All these hands that are lifted up, people that were lifting their hands or watching online, you say, yes, I'm saved, I'm born again, I have no doubt about it. And that's wonderful. How do you know that? Well, you should write this down just in case. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us what? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. What happens? Old things pass away, and behold, all things become brand new. How many things? So if that transformation of your initial salvation has not removed all the old things and a new life has begun, then you're not born again yet. I don't care if you shook the preacher's hand, signed a card. I don't care if you go to church religiously. You must be, Jesus said, born again. It is necessary. So that event of salvation, which is a past tense, it means that there was a transaction that has occurred inside of your life when you were born again, when you got saved. And I will tell you, that, and I really can run the statistics all the way to the roof, but I'm just for the sake of somebody saying it's not 100%, I'm 99.9% sure that everybody in this room didn't just wake up, and those that are born again around the world just didn't wake up one day and say, you know, today I think I'll just go get saved. Most everybody who gave their life to the Lord came to Christ as a result of a crisis or something that put them in a place where they said, I've got to have a change, and I got to have it right now. The Lord reached out and dealt with your heart, and there was an event of salvation that took place in your life. So the question is, what is it that is saved about you? Now, it's very, very important, so stay with me here. I'm laying a little groundwork. When you were born again, I'm afraid that too many people are living off of the high of salvation. And because they will not be transformed by the renewing of their mind, they come in and get saved every week. Because of that, how many of you remember that feeling when you got saved? The burdens of the world were lifted off your shoulder, you felt clean, all of that kind of thing going on, and that was wonderful. And people are always striving for that feeling. But the responsibility of salvation is not just that I got saved. I have been delivered from Egypt. But the next step takes me across the Red Sea, which is a type of baptism, into the wilderness, which is walking the way of the cross and changing your mind and getting you prepared for a location that is above the promised land. So what is it that is saved about you? Now, this diagram is one that you're going to see over and over again in this particular study, and I'm really not a great artist, especially with this brick on my arm. So we are a tripart being. We are a tripart being, body, soul, and spirit. And in what we call the soul is made up of three different compartments: the mind, the will, and the emotions. Okay? The spirit is who we are. We were born and we are a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. Okay? We are not a body that has a spirit. We are a spirit that has a body. The spirit, once you were born, there will never be, there was a day when you were not, but there'll never be a day when you are not. Once you came into existence into this world, you are a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body that was given to you. And you need to understand your spirit is going to live on throughout eternity somewhere. You will get a new body. So when you got saved, I hear you. I'm with you. All these markers. When you got saved, I thought I'd try a blue one. What got saved? My spirit man got saved. I was saved in my spirit. What's saved about you? I'm saved in my spirit. Okay, is your mind saved? Is your body saved? Your mind, the Lord gave you, in your body you have world conscious. In your soul you have self-awareness, self-conscious. This word soul here is a word that's found in Genesis in the Hebrew that denotes self-consciousness. In your spirit, you have God consciousness. Before you were saved, you had no knowledge of God. You were without God. You were dead in trespasses and sin. Your spirit man was dead to Christ. When you gave your life to the Lord, you gave your spirit, your innermost core, to the Lord. He saved you on the inside. Now, how many of you understand that your spirit is saved, your soul is being saved, and your body is going to be saved? How many of you know that your body is not saved right now? Some of you say, well, I think my body's saved. Well, if you put deodorant on, your body's not saved. That's the smell of death you're still trying to cover up. Come on, somebody. Okay? Your spirit is saved. It's born again. That's the part that the Lord begins with. That's what's been delivered. That's that feeling that God gave to you. By faith you took hold of the promise of God at the cross. And that's the most important part of you, because your spirit first. You have a soul and you live in a body. I'm emphasizing this and repeating it because you need to get it in your spirit. Because your spirit is saved right now, your mind is going to be saved, where your will, your mind, and your emotions are located. And your body is going to be saved. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, we shall be redeemed in our body. For this mortal shall put on immortality. This corruptible shall put on incorruption. That's the reason why the body goes back to the dust of the earth from which it came, because it is born with a, you're born with a sin nature without God. And so in your body, which is defiled, it's sinful, it goes back. That's the reason why you're fighting with your flesh constantly. Now, somebody said, well, you know what? Before I got saved, I didn't have a fight like I do now. Well, you never came to church, and you were a lounge lizard, and you just were a sinner, and you're on your way to hell. But the day you gave your life to Jesus Christ and he saved you, that's when all real living began. And the fact is, the devil took a picture of you, put it up on the post office of hell, and said, get this one. And the more that you are influencing people for the kingdom of God, the more the hits are going to come against your life, the more the conflict. So this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruptible shall put on incorruption. So my spirit is saved right now. It's not going to be saved. I'm saved right now. I have eternal life because I have given my life. What is the life? The life is in your spirit. That's where you get, that's the pneuma. The spirit breathed into you and you became a living soul. Now, one of the interesting things, and this is the reason why Wednesday night and Sunday and you having a daily devotion and renewing your mind in the Word of God every day is so important, because the Bible says that the word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Bible goes on to say that it's piercing, dividing asunder soul and spirit. So the only thing that can separate for you what your spirit is and what your soul thinks and your will and your emotions, the only thing that brings you into balance and understanding is the Word of God. Y'all with me? Let me just draw another little analogy for you. This is a picture of the Tabernacle of Moses, and I'm bringing that series to you very soon, the Tabernacle of Moses. If you don't know how to worship until you have walked through the study of the Tabernacle of Moses to approach the king, because there is a pattern to that, all right? But this is a picture of the tripart tabernacle of Moses, the Holy of Holies, the holy place where there were three pieces of furniture, the menorah, the table of showbread and flagons of wine, and the altar of incense, okay? The three parts there. And the outside is the outer court. Now, why is that so important? I get excited when you find patterns in the Word of God. So the Bible says when Jesus died, what did he do? The Bible says that the veil of the temple that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place was ripped, torn all the way down, and opened up and made the two chambers one. Now you can't know between the soul and the... It's very hard to divide that. So how do I know how to operate in my will, my mind, and emotions, and in my spirit? The only way is through the Word of God. Not somebody's self-help books, not Oprah's latest show, not Dr. Phil. It is all about the Word of God telling you who you are, whose you are, and the purpose of God for your life. Let me take you a little bit further in the worship experience. For they that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. They that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. If you're going to come to God, you must worship in spirit and in truth. So the veil has been separate, has been ripped, and the two compartments of the Holy of Holies and this chamber of the holy place have been made one. So now when I am in worship, and we always want to regulate worship to singing a song, which it is the pattern of entry and praise and worship, but I don't even have to have a song to enter into the holy place and into the Holy of Holies. The only thing is, I don't know when my hallelujah meets my hallelujah. I don't know how to discern what is praise and what is worship, because when I get in the presence of God, the two chambers have become one, and now I can enter boldly by the blood of Jesus Christ and worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you do not worship the Lord in spirit and in soul, even though my mind, will, and emotions will be involved in that process and help me to get into the Holy of Holies. But if all I've done is stirred my emotions, or I've worshiped out of my mind, I have not yet arrived. Boy, this preaches. And here's the point. Whenever I am able by worship and praise unto the Lord and adoration unto him, when I enter into that Holy of Holies place in the presence of God where no light was, only the glory, the Shekinah glory of God coming down. Are you hearing me? The glory of God coming down. There should be, when I come out of this, because I wish I could stay, but I can't. You got to go to work. For those of you who work, you got to go to work. You got to take care of the babies. You got to get them to school. You got to this, that. All that's going on doesn't mean that I leave the presence of God. But there should be a transformation with every encounter that I have with God.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the Word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.